Hello and welcome to the Tesla Tips and Tricks podcast. This is Rod Stuckey. Here with me is EVBIDS co-founder and Tesla Tips and Tricks administrator, Tori Hornsby. Tori, how's it going?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. Excited to jump into this podcast where we're going to cover some interesting posts from our T3 Facebook group, including a recent Tesla safety report about autopilot and how it stacks up against other manufacturers. We're going to talk about tips on long-distance trips, why do low-profile tires consume more energy, and much more. But first, Tori, for those who may be unfamiliar, tell us a little bit more about the T3 community.
Tesla Tips and Tricks is the largest Tesla tips-oriented community in the world with over 281,000 members in our Facebook group. If you've not joined our Facebook group, recommend that you do so, especially so you can follow along and go and chime in the comments of the posts that we'll cover. But you'll see that our community provides real-world tips to maximize the Tesla ownership experience for current owners and for prospective owners. And we're also working really hard to bring these best tips to even more people with our podcasts like we're doing here, with our reels and our shorts on Facebook, Instagram, X, LinkedIn. And if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, please do so. There will be a link in the video description if you're not watching on YouTube, or for those listening, you can just go to youtube.com/@TeslaTipsAndTricks. Again, youtube.com/@TeslaTipsAndTricks.
All right. So without further ado, we're going to jump into our first post that we're going to talk about. Kind of a long one here, so bear with me. This is a Tesla safety report that shows autopilot is over 10x safer than the NHTSA average in the U.S. The data reveals one accident for every 7.44 million miles driven when autopilot is active. Keep in mind that FSD is a version of autopilot. For Tesla drivers that don't have autopilot active, data reports one crash for every 1.51 million miles driven. By comparison, the U.S. national average for all drivers is one accident for every 702,000 miles driven, making Tesla autopilot over 10 times safer. The image shown that we're showing on the screen by @MuskOnomy compiles all autopilot data to show accidents after 9 billion miles. Based on the data, Tesla autopilot could have prevented 16,861 accidents from happening based on the 9 billion miles it's driven. That's pretty impressive. Tori, take us through this post.
Yeah, first I just want to say that the person who posted this is very smart, also handsome, and a pretty stand-up guy. So this was fascinating to me, and I know to you as well, Rod. First, where is this data coming from? Tesla every quarter releases the number of miles driven on autopilot, not on autopilot, crash numbers, and more. And so this data is very easy to find. And then the NHTSA also releases this similar data for all manufacturers. NHTSA stands for National Highway Transportation Safety Administration. So they're all things safety for the roadways, for highway in the U.S. They released this data as well. Tesla obviously is pairing this together to show how safe Teslas are. For every 7.4 million miles driven, there's only one accident on autopilot compared to 702,000 miles driven for all other non-Tesla manufacturers for one accident. That's a lot less, right? 702,000 miles for one accident versus 7.4 million means that Tesla on autopilot is over 10 times safer. Reading through the post here, Rod, people think that autopilot doesn't mean FSD. Well, when you look from Tesla's perspective, if you go in your Tesla, go to the software screen or go to your main screen and click on autopilot, that's the name of the feature on the screen. There are several different options for autopilot. There is traffic aware cruise control. There is autopilot. There could be auto steer or enhanced autopilot. And then there's full self-drive. From Tesla's viewpoint, FSD is under the umbrella of autopilot. So just so people don't look at this and say, oh, that doesn't include FSD. It does. The attached image here, for those who are listening to the podcast here, it is by Muskonomy on X. And what he's done is he's taken all of the data that Tesla releases quarter after quarter after quarter, and he has compiled all of it. And so there's over 9 billion miles of data, and he's compiled it all and showed that basically there's been 1,506 accidents from autopilot engaged driving over that 9 billion mile mark. Well, that sounds like a lot, 1,506. Well, all Teslas over that 9 billion mile average, if you do the math, Tesla without autopilot active has had 6,864. So with autopilot, 1,500, without autopilot, 6,864. And both of those are over a 9 billion mile of driving data set. But then when you compare that to the US average of non-Teslas, which is 18,367 accidents over that 9 billion mile average there, it's night and day. It's a big difference. And there's some comments here of people who are confused on the data sets here. And if it's, for instance, Scott Woods says, if the title is correct, autopilot and not FSD, then autopilot really only works on interstates and highways. Well, the autopilot feature includes full self-drive. And then we've got Alexi says, whenever autopilot can't cope, it turns itself off immediately. There's no way to refuse. So the autopilot won't be able to prevent an accident. Well, there's no data to support that autopilot turns itself off just before an accident to reduce that number. Whenever autopilot is in a situation that it's uncomfortable and it can't read the road or cones or whatever, it starts chirping at you and says, take over immediately. That's happened to me on several times. I've never gotten to an accident at that point. So I don't think that there is a link between autopilot shutting itself off and then an accident happening. And then, Ray says they're neglecting the fact that autopilot is used much more on highways than surface streets, which have a higher accident rate due to cross traffic lights, pedestrians, et cetera. Well, Ray, I use my autopilot or full self-drive all the time. Sure, I use it on the interstate. It's probably, I don't know. I was going to say it's more enjoyable on the interstate, but I actually don't believe that. I'm going to circle back and say it's probably more enjoyable on all of those side roads. For instance, last night, we went to Andy's Frozen Custard. By the way, if you're in America and you've never had Andy's Frozen Custard, oh my gosh, you got to try it. It's next level. But hopped in there, little 12-minute drive. What's the first thing I did? I navigated to Andy's Frozen Custard, turned on full self-drive. So I don't think that there's any data to support what you're saying here, Ray, either, that it's used more on highways. Overall, I don't think that there's any arguing based on this data, which, by the way, you can see this data if you go to tesla.com/vehicle safety report. Any way you shake a stick at this, Teslas are safer and even safer when autopilot is engaged.
I'm pretty surprised, Tori. Look at the comments. There really is a lot of skepticism in here of people thinking that maybe Tesla has manipulated this data. And, there's quite a few folks that are just skeptical that this is accurate. But, for me, from kind of a common sense perspective, just at a high level, FSD supervised, I mentioned on the pod a couple of weeks ago that FSD supervised, when I first got it, I wanted to just be able to let the car drive me everywhere and then, I could play on my phone or whatever. Duh. You can't do that. FSD, I mentioned it's trained me that I have to pay attention and I have to be present and I have to be looking at the road, and I'm now trained to do that. So when you think about the redundancy that's built in with FSD supervised, you have the car that's does a heck of a job of driving itself, and then you have me, the driver, supervised as a redundant source of backup. So you really have more quality control in place than, a car driving itself alone autonomously or a driver driving on. You have redundancy built in. So it makes sense to me that FSD supervised would be safer because of that redundancy that's built in. So, but it is interesting. Jump in there, everybody, and make some comments and read the comments, because there's quite a bit of skepticism in there.
I think where the skepticism comes from, and I understand this, full self-drive breaks for shadows and puddles. full self-drive. You know, I was going through this newly formed roundabout and there's cones everywhere and the lines aren't quite there yet. And I just wanted to see what it would do. And it couldn't really decide exactly what it wanted to do when I took over. And it left me wondering, like, hey, would I have driven into that cone? I probably wouldn't have. I understand why people are skeptical about this data. As we mentioned in our last podcast, FSD has done a couple of wild things for me that I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? But never in a way where I felt unsafe. Like, it's never darted me into traffic or into oncoming traffic. It's slammed on brakes at a yellow light before, which I didn't like. Rod, you mentioned that it stopped at a red light and then accelerated and took off like it was a stop sign, but there was no traffic coming. So we've never felt unsafe with it activated in terms of almost getting into an accident. I think that a lot of these, if there was a car in the road, it would see the car and it would stop and it wouldn't do some of the things that people experience. So I think the skepticism comes from just that there's still a long way to go, and especially hardware 3 full self-drive. For me, it's never been in an unsafe way where I felt like I almost got into an accident because of it.
Yeah, it's not perfect. Mine, I've noticed, like, if I see speed bumps, I have to be prepared because mine wants to hit speed bumps at full speed, which obviously no one wants to do. I've also noticed that debris in the road, you know, roadkill or trash or something like that, mine's not real good at avoiding. So it's not perfect, but, and that's where I believe that, you know, you kind of have, if you can embrace FSD supervised and look at yourself as the backup driver, it really does make sense that it would be safer. So
I like that mindset. That's a good mindset. You are the redundancy.
Yeah, exactly. So let's move on to our next tip, which actually says not a tip, but I definitely tricked myself unintentionally. My sister borrowed my car, so I changed the lock noise to screaming goat, because why not? What I didn't plan on was forgetting, and I did that when I got back today and nearly spilling coffee all over myself this morning.
Yeah, it's a good tip, I think, for other people to know that you can do that. Now, I believe that you have to have 2021. Well, you have to have the pedestrian warning system. So it's not necessarily a year. So for Model X, it has to be 2021 and newer, but I think all Model 3s and all Model Ys for years have had the pedestrian warning system. So if you've got the external speaker, then you can change your lock noise to several different things. One of them is a screaming goat. And I love, Cassie, I love the fact that you did this to your sister. Every time she pulled up somewhere and got out of the car, it screamed like a goat when it locked, which is
where
fantastic.
Where do you go to do this, Tori? What settings do you go to do this?
Within the toy box, there's ability to go and change some of these settings. By the way, if you have a shortcut on this, comment on this video and let us know how. Like, what have you done? If you've got your own story or you've got some directions on how to get this done, would love for you guys to post and comment below and tell us how you do it.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was in the same place in the toy box. I know I played with the fart noise. Yeah. That's what Reagan Stein says. The fart noise is my choice. Different fart every time. Always cracks me up. As you walk away and the car whistles, then lets one rip. The look on people's faces is priceless. We've talked about that before, and I've done that one a couple of times. I know that's a stock, that's a stock easy setting in the toy box in mine. Oh, and this was an interesting, Molly says, I set mine to quack yesterday, and every time I walked away today, I was giggling because the car was quacking. So stuff like that makes Tesla so fun and unique.
Yeah.
So let's move on to our next post. How can I restart without waiting? Thank you.
So when I first read this from Peter, I thought he was asking, how do you restart a car? And we'll cover that first. You hold down both the scroll wheels on the steering wheel for 5-6 seconds or until you see the screen turn off. So that's how you restart or reset a Tesla. If you ever hear somebody say restart or reset your Tesla. And by the way, just like every device, your computer, your phone, every electronic device, restarting it cures a multitude of issues at different times. So if you're ever having some little issues or your Tesla's not acting the way you expect it to, reset it. However, that wasn't what Peter was asking. Peter struck out on his autopilot. So it says auto steer has been suspended based on your recent driving data. This was information for me. I didn't know that auto steer allowed strikeouts or had strikeouts. I thought that was a full self-drive thing. Well, it turns out that auto steer, which is the level below FSD, also has the ability to strike out if it warns you too much. So Peter has a message here for those who are listening. It says auto steer has been suspended based on your recent driving. This will be restored on the 10th of May, 2025 at 6:22 PM. When you strike out on any form of autopilot, FSD, or apparently auto steer too, there's no resetting it. There's no restarting it. You just have to wait until the time passes. And on May 10th at 6:22, that will have been restored. Definitely want to pay attention. And when it's chirping at you, if it does it 3, 4, 5 times, when you get out of the car, it's going to give you a strikeout. And if you strike out a few times, it's going to take it away from you to where you can't use it for a week.
That's interesting to me because you remember when I got it killed it on me while I was on a road trip. I was talking to you guys on a meeting and I stopped and I was in FSD with destination set on a road trip and I had 3 strikes and it said, you're done. And then I actually got to a supercharger and I ended my trip. I went in and I did some shopping and I came back out. I was charged up, put in a different address and it worked fine. So
there's a distinction here. When the car alerts you several times, you will strike out and it will stop working for that drive.
Okay.
After 3 or 5, I think it's 3, but it might be 5. After 3 to 5 times of you striking out,
okay,
it suspends you for a week. So Peter was suspended.
This is worse than a strikeout, which I think I got like 3 slaps on the, I got like 3 slaps on the wrist.
3 alerts.
3 alerts. And then it nicked.
Then you struck out.
So 3 of those separate instances, and then you're actually suspended.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that is something to know is I was on a trip and I struck out. I pulled off the side of the road. I pulled into a parking lot, hit park, went back into drive, full self-drive started working again. So if you just have a single strikeout, you can reset it just by putting the car in park at a red light even, and then putting it back in drive, and it will allow you to use FSD. But if you have multiple strikeouts within 1 week time, it will suspend you for a week's time.
Well, that's good information. Once you get a strikeout, you better tighten up there, pal. All right, let's move on here. The next post we're going to talk about, we are driving from Las Vegas to upstate New York. We planned on taking our Kia Sportage, but I really wanted to take my Tesla. Feedback, welcome. I am concerned about locating charging stations, taking the southern route. I plan on driving 8 hours a day over 4 days. Thoughts?
Yeah, so there's a lot of good comments on this one. Chris says, there's plenty of charging stations along the way. You'll be fine. Todd says, I would definitely take your EV. Good idea is to have a mobile charger with you and a J1772 adapter. The J1772 is the adapter so that you can use the non-Tesla chargers. But you will probably end up using mostly superchargers or exclusive superchargers. Thomas, this is the best comment. Just plug in your route and the Tesla app will guide you and let you know when and how long you need to stop for optimal travel. If you're staying in hotels, this is a good tip. Call ahead and try to reserve an EV charger. So that's one less stop that you'll need. You can charge while you're sleeping. And then it says, enjoy upstate New York. And he's got a little bit more information there. Jeff says, a little tip from one who has made half of that trip. Put your final destination in, then add your overnight stops in. If you try and go station to station, the Tesla calculates the amount of charge needed to get to your next hotel, but may leave you with not enough charge to get to your next supercharger. There is now a new feature within the navigation of Tesla where you can add in stops. In the past, you couldn't do that, but now you can say, here's where I want to ultimately go, but stop me at this hotel, stop me at this hotel, stop me at this hotel. And then you just have one long continuous trip and Tesla can manage the battery better that way. You want to be sure that you have a tire flat repair kit because you don't have a spare tire. So get you some plugs and an air compressor as well.
You know, there is a comment in here that said, we decided it's too much work to drive our Tesla on trips. We bought a hybrid for road trips. The Tesla is awesome for around town. And, you know, I actually made that, I had that assumption as well until I started doing road trips in my Tesla. And I just can't believe when you put in your final destination, I've not done a cross-country trip like this, but for, you know, a 6 or 8 hour road trip like I do going from Florida to Georgia, and there's I-75 and there's chargers everywhere, when you put your final destination in, it is remarkable to me. I would have never realized, because when you come from an ICE vehicle, you're accustomed to stopping and filling up, you know, to 100%. But my normal stops are, you know, 12 to 15 minutes of charging, and it does not charge. I do not charge to 100%. I may be charging to 40 or 50% just to get me to my next destination. And then the one other cool thing you can do is when you set your destination, you set what you want your charge to be at when you arrive at your final destination, because you don't want to get to your final destination and be stranded there. And so it really backs into it. And I can do a 6 to 8 hour road trip up I-75 pretty much in the same amount of time that I do it in my ICE vehicle, because, you know, I'm going to stop and use a bathroom. I'm going to stop and get food. I'm going to stop and get fuel. And I encourage people, before you pass judgment, maybe if you're doing a rural trip or through a lot of countryside, it might not be as good as an ICE vehicle. But if you got a primarily like the route we're looking at here, where it's mostly interstate, the Tesla Supercharge network is pretty doggone awesome. And as the advice that's given here, if you put in your end destination, your overnights, and your charge that you want at your final destination, and just let the app do its thing, it's really a cool experience. It's so unique. All right, so last post. Hello, could someone explain why low profile tires consume 10 to 15% more energy? Thanks everyone for the help. I conclude that the reason is just the construction and composition of the low profile tire. Corey, 102 comments on this one.
Yeah, it's actually a lot deeper than that. Yasidro says, believe it or not, Teslas are tuned for battery efficiency, and any change in that efficiency typically reduces the distance you can drive with the given energy. Low profile tires have more weight to them, especially because the rim is heavier, to account for the reduced tire support. On top of that, you're now changing the way the air flows around the vehicle, creating more drag, which all translates to more energy to get you moving, and more drag causing you to use more energy to stay at speed. Bill has the best breakdown, which he got from ChatGPT. Low profile tires tend to consume 10 to 15% more energy, primarily due to the following factors. One, increased rolling resistance. Low profile tires often have wider tread patterns, which increases the contact area with the road. More contact means more rolling resistance, requiring the motor, to work harder and take more energy. Heavier wheels. They're usually mounted on larger, heavier alloy rims. If you think about that, the rubber is not as heavy as the wheel is, and so low-profile tires have bigger wheels. This in drag racing, I'm a drag racer for those of you who don't know, but you really want to get as light a weight wheels as you possibly can, because it's rolling weight, which is actually, it takes more horsepower and torque to get rolling weight moving than it does just weight on the car. Heavier wheels do that. Stiffer sidewalls, the shorter sidewalls of low profile tires are stiffer, which reduces energy absorption from road imperfections. While this can improve handling, it reduces energy efficiency because the tire flexes less, doesn't conform to the road, leading to more vibration and energy lost. And the number four, the aerodynamic drag that the increase of the wheels causes. So it's not just the tire composition, it's the four things that we just said there.
the simplest explanation for me, and I learned this, Tori, with dirt bike racing way back in the day. You know, it would seem that this bigger rear tire is going to get more traction. I'm going to get a better hole shot with a bigger, wider tire. But the bigger, wider tire actually ate up more horsepower than the narrower tire, even though it seemingly was getting more traction. It was also robbing more power. And so it's kind of, to me, the easy, simple way to think about it is just rolling resistance it just consumes more power. So,
and this is the same reason that a 22-inch wheel is less efficient than a 20-inch, which is less efficient than an 18-inch wheel.
Model X, I upgraded to the bigger wheels, and it let me know, hey, you're actually reducing your range by going with the. I paid more for the bigger wheels to reduce my range.
Right.
I don't know how smart that was, but I did. So.
But it looks good.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks so good. So, all right. Well, with that, that concludes our Tesla Tips and Tricks podcast this episode. And we look forward to having our next one, and have everybody jump over to YouTube channel and like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you hadn't already, like Tori said, joined our Facebook group, do so. Follow us on Instagram and X, and we'll look forward to seeing everybody on the next episode. Tori, any final words?
Like and subscribe. Like this video and subscribe on YouTube. We're really trying to grow our subscriber base there. You'll get the best content that we have to offer if you do so.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening and watching, and we'll see you on the next episode.